Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Still excited and happy because we crossed the $100,000 subscriber threshold last hour on YouTube. So many good things happening at this apostolate. And I think I think the reason is that there's a, I actually think there's a growing interest in Catholicism, in faith, in God, among many people who are dissatisfied with the kind of shallowness and meanness and of our culture and the get what you can attitude, and want to know what's more, is there more? And so we have subscribers who are atheists, we have subscribers who are agnostics, we have subscribers who are the Pope. Well, actually, I don't know if the Pope is a subscriber. I don't know that for a fact, so I shouldn't have said that. But this hour, we'd love to have conversations with folks who really, frankly, don't see the point of religion. What's the point of religion in my life? Why would I do that? Why would I take an interest in that? If that's you, or if that's someone in your life, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. One of the people who's been here the whole way as we built up 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I wasn't. I got here. There were already 40,000 subscribers. It's only been 60,000 since since I got here. But Carlo's been here the whole way. And that is our guest, Carlo Broussard. Hi, Carlo.
Hey, Cy. I haven't been here the whole way, my friend.
Well, no,
I've only been here 4.5 years. So.
Yeah, but when did we start on YouTube? Was it before that? Oh,
I would assume that they started before I got here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize that.
But you know what is interesting, Cy, is that at least the time that you've been here,
yeah,
there are more subscribers than the time that you weren't here.
Right.
So that's kudos to you, brother.
Right. That's because it all has to do with me, Carlo. It's got
60
nothing.
60 is greater than 40,000. Well, 60,000 is greater than 40,000.
Yeah, that's true. But everything in social media is growing. And we have a great social media. I mean, Thomas is doing a great job now. And we had Rochelle. We've had all wonderful social media people building it up. And all for the greater glory of God, we hope. And this
we're doing
hour,
our best,
well,
right?
Yeah, one of the cool things that we do. I do think this is one of the reasons people are attracted to the program too. When they are attracted, is what you do, and Trent does it as well. I mean, all the guys do it, I guess. But you know what? If you don't agree, love to talk with you about it. If you don't find this compelling, give us a call. And one of the things that has kind of become your hallmark is examining obstacles. For example, what are your obstacles to believing in God? What are your obstacles to accepting Jesus as the Son of God? What are your obstacles, as we recently did in a bunch of Focus episodes, to accepting the church and what the church as founded by Jesus Christ? And one obstacle, I'm just not that interested, or I don't get what this religion thing is about.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lack of care, sort of a religious indifferentism, right? And so the question arises, well, why should I care about religion, just generally speaking? And I think it's important that we have to start with a proper understanding of what religion is, because given what we see in our culture, you can get a lot of false ideas of what religion might constitute, right, and what that might be. But I think a good place to start is with St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm a lover of St. Thomas Aquinas and his thought. And he captures the essence of religion nicely in the second part of the second part, question 81. He says, religion denotes properly a relation to God, for it is he to whom we ought to be bound as our unfailing principle, and to whom also our choice should be resolutely directed as to our last end. So notice there are two things here that we're related to God on account of two things. He's the source of our existence, and he's our life's ultimate goal. Okay?
Yes.
Now, inasmuch as religion consists in our relation to God as our life's ultimate goal, the achievement of which is going to constitute our perfection and our good, religion is a virtue. Since a virtue consists in the habitual disposition, to be habitually disposed, to act in accord with what's good for us, right? To follow the order of the good. What is that order? The direction to what is good for us and perfective of us, and that would be our ultimate life's goal, namely God. So religion, according to Aquinas here, is a specific moral excellence for a human being. So it's already wrapped up into what it means to be human, what it means to be a good human, you see?
Yeah, right.
Now, like all virtues, the virtue of religion involves certain actions. Actions that are going to cohere or fit within that order or that plan that is directed to God, right?
Yes.
And so here's where God as the source of our existence comes into play. The actions that the virtue of religion brings about or calls forth are actions that render worship due to God as the source of all being, the source of our being in particular, and the source of all goods. So by virtue of it being a virtue, a moral virtue, we're directing ourselves to God as our ultimate life's goal, but that's also going to involve actions that fit within that order to God, and specifically these are actions that manifest the due worship of God, the manifestation, the testifying, right?
Right.
That God is the source of our being and of our all of our good gifts. And those actions can be either interior or exterior. So interior actions would be acts of devotion and prayer by which we give honor to God as the source of our being. Gratitude, thanksgiving, even petitionary prayer and requesting God for things, recognizing Him as the ultimate source of all good things and blessings that we receive in our lives. But the virtue of religion is also going to entail acts or deeds externally, so exterior actions. And that would involve public ritual or sacrifice. These exterior deeds that we perform to signify the interior worship that we have of God as the source of our being. And philosophers refer to this view of religion as the subjective view of religion. So these, when we look at religion as a virtue, right, that habitual good disposition by which we can direct our activities to our ultimate end, namely God.
Okay.
Now, philosophers also look at religion from the objective view, and that is to say, whenever you look at religion as the sum of all of these activities that we engage in to direct ourselves to our ultimate life's goal, namely God, and the truths that these activities are based upon, namely the truth of God, the truth of man, and the relationship between the two. That's the objective view of religion, the sum total of all of these activities that we need to be engaging in to be directing ourselves to our ultimate good and thus ultimate happiness, which is union with God, and the truths that are involved and that are driving these activities. The truth of God as the source of all being and all good things. The truth of God as our ultimate end. The truth of ourselves as creature created by God and directed to Him for our ultimate perfection and happiness. And so once we understand religion in that sense, Cy, well, then the picture of why religion is important becomes very clear. Because once we understand that God exists and He's the source of our being and all good gifts, and that we are directed and made for Him as our ultimate life's goal, well, then we can see that the practice of religion is going to be necessary for us to relate to what is real and thus live in accord with what's true.
Yeah.
Because if God exists and we're made for Him and we need to direct our lives to Him, and well, then if God exists, then it's important that we relate to Him as what is real. So religion is important because it entails relating to what is real, to reality, what is true. Now, I don't know about you, Cy, but I think most people would recognize we need to do our best to relate to reality as it is, right?
Yeah, I think
rather
we all,
than illusions, right?
Right. That's in us innately, though. We want to know what's true. Like, there's very few people who would ever say, I don't care what's true. I don't want to know what's up and what's down. I don't want to know.
Right.
Yeah.
And right. So religion is important, first of all, because it's a matter of truth and relating to the truth. But also, in light of this view of religion, Cy, becomes clear that religion is important and we should care because it constitutes our human happiness. In as much as we're going to achieve our ultimate life's goal, namely God, which is our ultimate good, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to constitute human happiness, but also for the sake of being a good human being, because I can't be good unless I'm working towards and working to achieve the purpose and meaning of life, which is to know God, to love God, and to serve God. So religion is important, and we should care about religion for the sake of truth, for the sake of being a good human being,
yes,
living in accord with what's good for me as a human being, directed to my ultimate life in,
yeah,
for the sake of living intelligently. Because the first principle of intelligent use is to know what the purpose of something is. You can't relate to something unless you know what it is and what its purpose is.
Right.
Once we know what our purpose is as human beings, to know God and to be directed toward God and be in union with God, well, then we can live life intelligently. I'm thinking of John Tesh here, Intelligence for Your Life. He's a radio host, right?
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No, I haven't.
Intelligence for Your Life. Well, the most intelligent thing to do is to practice religion in as much as we're directing our lives to our ultimate end, namely God. And then religion is important. We should care because we care about happiness. And that is one thing that everybody cannot help but care about, because every choice that we make is for the sake of choosing something that we perceive to be good to make us happy.
Right.
So we can't get out of the constraints of wanting or desiring to be happy. So we all care about being happy. And religion is that which is can help us achieve happiness, and so therefore, we should all care about religion.
Right. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I think some people will be surprised, Carlo, that you make an appeal to say, look, it's not reasonable to live without religion. It's not intelligent and related to reality, which is what we would think of being reasonable. It's not moral, because you're not giving due honor to that which is most good and to which you are most indebted, and it doesn't make you happy. I think most people would expect you to make an argument, or maybe people who are not familiar with religion and the arguments of religious people would maybe to make a more an argument about that. You know, you can't be saved if you don't believe, or that. Maybe a sociological argument that has to do with, you know, I don't know, religious people live longer, or an argument of a more emotional argument that you know in your heart you need this,
right.
and you don't make those arguments.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to do here is kind of pulling from that perennial tradition, right, of Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, given our nature as human beings and what we're ordered to. In light of what we are as human beings, as rational animals, and rooting the practice of religion in human nature. Now, there's another distinction that needs to be drawn for our listeners' sake out there, that this articulation of religion is initially has the characteristic of what we call natural religion, right? In as much as we're rooting it in nature. But everything I said also applies to supernatural religion, and that is those activities and truths that we need to do and know in order to properly relate to our ultimate end, namely God, that have been supernaturally revealed to us through the prophets of the Old Testament and ultimately through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we draw those distinctions between natural religion and supernatural religion. But religion in general is important for us, and we should care about it precisely because it belongs to what we are as human beings. And of course, it's a human universal. There's been no culture in the history of human civilization that has not believed in some form of a transcendent reality to which we must direct our activities.
Yeah.
And that's at least an indication that there's something real to this religion thing, because if we have right. hunger, there must be food. If we thirst, if we're thirsty, there must be drink. And if we have this universal desire
yeah.
for the transcendent, then it would seem reasonable to conclude that if nature does nothing in vain, there's a transcendent reality to which we're directed.
888-318-7884. I hope you will take up the challenge. I mean, it is a challenge that, in a sense, that Carlo is making in saying that to be non-religious or to dismiss religion as irrelevant to oneself is not to be fully reasonable and not to be fully moral. And I know many people. That may sound harsh, but
That might require a little nuancing.
Sure,
there.
Yeah, I didn't. I suppose maybe I'm trying to prick the caller a little bit to get him to pick up the phone. 888-318-7884 is the number. Why is religion relevant? Why does it matter? Why does it matter that you that for you personally, and not just it's for somebody else? That's what we'd like to discuss with you, and we'd love your calls. 888-318-7884. And Carlo, when we come back, I want to prod you a little bit with a evolutionary psychology argument about religion, and you say, well, every society, you know, and you didn't say this is a proof. This is just an indication that something's going on here. We increasingly hear that almost people say this is almost as if it's a scientific certainty. Well, you know, early people attributed agency to things that really don't have agency, and so they wanted to control the wind, and they wanted to do this. So they thought that they could communicate with whatever being was making the wind blow and all that stuff. But we know now that those are just random things.
Right.
So I'll throw that at you when we come back, and then also take some callers. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Our mission is to transform the world one woman at a time through a spiritual program of formation that helps them to see who they are as daughters of the Most High God and to enjoy the gift that God has given to them by virtue of their femininity.
Women of Grace with Jeanette Bankovic-Williams. Tomorrow morning, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
I was just saying to Carlo at the break, it does impress me how many young people will say to you, you know, I know that religion is important to you, but that's not really important to me. Sometimes that comes with a little anger about, you know, religion is bad, but that doesn't always. Sometimes it just comes with genuine disinterest. Like, I have what I need in life. I just don't need that. I know you might need that, but I don't need that.
Yes, a sense, and I emphasize sense, of contentment. An initial thought that, well, I'm content where I'm at, and therefore I don't need anything else to satisfy me.
Yeah.
And my response to that is that often that line of thinking fails to consider the passibility and the vulnerability of the goods of this life.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I agree that hanging out with your friends and maybe for a specific individual playing Xbox, right, or going to the movies or going to the beach or whatever, and good food and good drink and good friends.
And social distancing while you're doing all
right.
of that, by the way.
That can give a legitimate form of happiness, degree of happiness.
Sure, right.
But what as we so often experience in our lives, these goods, as good as they are, they come and they go. And so they fill us, but only temporarily speaking. And so they're going to leave us empty eventually. And we're going to have to keep going back to those things and those goods to fill us, but consistently and perpetually realizing that these goods are limited. And so as St. Thomas Aquinas, in reflecting upon the limitations of all the various goods that we experience in our lives, they're both limited, thus leaving us to always desire more. And they're also passing, because there's always going to be some form of privation of those goods in these lives, thus leaving us seeking more, right? And so the question becomes, well, if none of these sorts of goods can completely satisfy my heart's desire, is there any such good that could completely satisfy my heart's desire? And of course, as St. Thomas Aquinas argues, that ultimate good, beyond which there is no good, greater good to be desired, would be God himself. And thus only God can completely satisfy us. And then also, too, this line of reasoning that you presented assumes that there is no afterlife. So you might think, well, I'm content now, and I'll just be content into my death. Well, what happens when you die? And there is an afterlife, and God does exist. Will you be content then if you made a positive act of the will to not consider these truths about religion and about God and possibly be guilty of negligence?
Yeah.
And not be very content in the afterlife. So that way of thinking assumes that all there is to reality in my life is this life.
Right.
Without taking into consideration the possibility of an afterlife and the existence of God. And so I think this is where Pascal's wager could come in,
yeah,
which could serve as another nudge in the direction of why we should take religion seriously, because it's in our best interest, as Pascal says. You know, if God exists and you believe in God, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose in believing God. But if you don't believe in God, right, and he doesn't exist, then you don't have anything to gain. You have everything to lose if he exists, right?
Right.
And so, you know, there's ways of articulating Pascal's wager, but the idea is that it can serve in our best interest. But of course, ultimately, we only want to practice religion and have the virtue of religion based upon the reality and the truth that God exists, and we are ordered to God as our ultimate end, in which we find complete happiness.
I said before we went to the break that I wanted to ask you the kind of evolutionary psychology, or give you the evolutionary psychology objection to religion and its importance, but there's just so many people on the phone lines. I want to get to them, and then we'll get to them, my question in due time. So let us start with Jacqueline in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM. Jacqueline, delighted to have you with us. Your question for Carla Broussard.
Yeah, so I agree religion is important. However, it's very uninteresting to me. Mm. I find that I can't connect to the Bible stories. And I've been to Bible studies. I hate to say it, but I'm bored out of my mind. And so there's something that I'm obviously missing, because otherwise there wouldn't be so many religious people in the world. But I find it terribly disinteresting. And I'm wondering, are there resources to help me connect with those stories on a deeper level? Maybe I'm not understanding them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. No, Jacqueline, I understand completely, because there was a time in my own life when I was about 17 and a half, right around 17. I come from a music background in southern Louisiana, and I was pursuing a music career, and I was playing on the weekends in the nightclubs and whatnot. And I remember experiencing an extreme degree of boredom and just dryness in going to Mass on Sundays, right, for me as a Catholic, and just thinking, there's just nothing here, right? I'm just bored out of my mind. Give me something more interesting. And Jacqueline, from my own experience and my own walk, what really woke me up and created a desire and a greater desire for me to learn more and to take religion serious, and in particular my Catholic faith, was that I started to learn about the Bible, and going to Bible studies, but also, Jacqueline, I started learning about the Bible within the context of my whole Catholic faith. Like, just one example, in learning about our Catholic Mass, right? And in going to Mass, I was bored, but I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what the rituals and the gestures symbolized. I didn't know what the theology was and what the realities that everything we said and did expressed. And once I came to realize those things intellectually, that actually helped me emotionally, so that it piqued my interest and a desire to want to learn more. And ultimately, the desire to want to learn more, Jacqueline, is because through that knowledge, I grew in love for Jesus Christ. I encountered Jesus Christ, that he's risen from the dead, and I encountered him interiorly, which fanned the flame of love. And through that desire of love, I wanted to know more. And through that desire to know more, I increased in love. And whenever I started tapping into the rich tradition, Jacqueline, at least in my walk in our Catholic faith, that excited me even more because I came to realize that it's not just these superficial, pie-in-the-sky, baby cherubs on clouds, you know, fifth grade Bible classes that I got growing up, right, in catechism class. But there was some robust thinking behind all of these things that we believe as Catholics, both on the philosophical level and the theological level. And when I tapped into that intellectual tradition, Jacqueline, it excited me in a way that put me on a path to want to become a Catholic apologist. And maybe on the other side of the break, we can recommend some resources.
All right. We got a bunch of other callers. Just hang on, callers. We want to get to you. We asked you to call us if you were not interested in religion or if you wanted to know why should I care about religion. Carla Broussard here to take your calls. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
How can a human woman be God's mother? Where in the Bible does it say that Mary was sinless and a perpetual virgin? What can I do to build and deepen my relationship with Mary as my spiritual mother in heaven? In 20 Answers Mary, you'll find biblical evidence for Marian doctrine and devotion, answers to common objections to Catholic teachings about Mary, and guidance on how to imitate Christ as you get to know the Blessed Mother like you've never known her before. 20 Answers Mary is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Dr. David Anders. Is God an angry God?
We answer questions like these every day on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Carlo Broussard is our guest this hour, and there are a bunch of folks on the line. We're speaking right now with Jacqueline, and the question of the hour has to do with why religion is relevant. Why should you care about religion? Why should I care about religion? If you ever ask yourself that, you can ask us at 888-318-7884. When we left, Jacqueline had explained to us, Carla, that she just doesn't relate to it. I mean, right. She actually sounds, Jacqueline, you sound like a person of great goodwill. It's just you don't feel any connection to it when right. You go to a Bible study.
Yeah, Jacqueline, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for holding on the line over the break there. So I just wanted, one thought occurred to me over the break. I commend you for seeking to foster or to inspire an interest, to help grow interest in religion, and in particular the Bible, by going to the Bible studies. But the thought that occurred to me is perhaps those Bible studies are falling short of accomplishing what you're hoping them to accomplish, which obviously is the case since you're calling us. So I would like to recommend some other avenues that you could take via biblical studies in order to sort of fan that flame within your heart to increase your interest in religion and in particular the Bible. And so, for example, we have a book here, Jacqueline, recently published by our press called Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus by Father Sebastian Walsh. And what Father Walsh does is he walks you through all of these parables that Jesus gives and gives you deep food for thought. And so what that book is going to do is going to help you on a spiritual level to encounter what the message of Jesus and what Jesus is trying to teach us through his teaching. So I think Cy said we're going to send you...
Let's send her a free copy.
A copy of The Secrets from Heaven. Now, there's another resource that will help you, Jacqueline, in getting through the entirety of the Bible. And it's going to help you read the Bible in an exciting and dynamic way to where you don't get bogged down in the weeds and in the mud sometimes, right? And the resource is this, Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, written by Dr. Tim Gray and Jeff Cavins. And that's going to help you read the Bible as a narrative from beginning to end, like you're reading a historical novel or something, right? And it highlights those key parts in the Bible where you can read it all together as one big narrative so that you can see the overarching plan of God working with the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament, culminating in the coming and the advent of his son, Jesus Christ, and the establishment of the church. And so that's going to help get you started with biblical studies. And then one last resource, Jacqueline, I want to recommend is a book by my good friend and colleague here, Trent Horn. It's called Why We're Catholic. And what that will do is it will walk you through various topics relating to God, relating to Jesus, relating to Christianity, relating to the Bible, relating to the Catholic Church, and give you brief essays on these various topics explaining to you why we're Catholic. Like, why do we believe these things? Why do we profess these things? And it's going to give you intellectual reasons behind the what's of what we believe. It's what we do in here at Catholic Answers called apologetics. And if it happens for you, I know it happened for me, Jacqueline, that when I took this process of getting a hold of good resources and learning about my faith, it increased a greater desire to know about it and to relate to it in a more profound way. And I'm confident that the resources I recommended to you will at least get you started, Jacqueline.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jacqueline. Maybe as you make as you try these things, give us a call and let us know how things are going.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it doesn't have to be just if things are going well. Like, you know, like we're into perseverance. We're not into like you have to tell us everything went perfectly. So I hope it does. But if it doesn't, call as well. We'd just like to talk with you. Thanks, Jacqueline. I'm going to keep moving because, oh my goodness, a lot of folks want to talk to Carlo. The question of the hour: why care about religion? Why should I? Up next, Antonio in Iowa, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Antonio, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Carlo.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show, by the way. So I guess my question is, I guess I do agree that religion is important, but I guess like from Pope Francis, I guess kind of like, you know, the way he conducts himself as the Pope, kind of feel like he may not agree that religion is as important as much. I may be wrong. So I guess how do I reconcile as a Catholic that religion is very important when I don't really feel that it's backed up by how my Pope conducts himself, I guess.
Could you just clarify something with you? So you would say the Pope says what is more important than religion, Antonio?
Well, I would say like, you know, like he says, who am I to judge? Or, you know, like, we're all, I feel like he kind of gives us, like, let's just love everyone. Like, you know, he kind of, like, interacts with, like, all the religions in kind of like a more of a feel-giving way.
Okay.
All right. So, Antonio, I think concerning Pope Francis, we have to make a distinction here between what we might perceive and feel based upon his actions and what is real in what he is saying and what he is doing. And so we have to be very careful. I agree with you that some things that he does and some things that he says would lend itself and be subject to misinterpretation by those who do not listen carefully and look carefully, okay? And it can lead to a lot of confusion. And I think we can simply acknowledge that. But in my experience in working here at Catholic Answers and working with a team here that looks into the details and what he says and what he does, I can affirm to you that in reality, there's nothing that he's doing or saying that contradicts the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has revealed to us, okay? So that's my comments concerning Pope Francis. But getting to the real question, Antonio, of considering or of reconciling or answering the question, why is religion important? We have to understand here that now we're in the arena of supernatural religion, right? Concerning that religion that Jesus comes to reveal to us, namely Christianity, and the fullness of that religion subsisting in the church that he established, the Catholic Church. But it relates to what we said earlier about natural religion, Antonio, because remember, religion is the virtue by which we are able to relate ourselves to God as our ultimate end, and to give him the proper worship that is due to him. Well, through the supernatural revelation of Jesus, he reveals to us those essential means that he wills for us to employ and to use by which we are united to him in this life and ultimately in the next, namely the sacraments, right? He gives us himself, his flesh and his blood in the Eucharist so that we commune with him. He gives us the teachings of the church so that we can assent to these truths in order to relate to reality in a proper way and order our lives to God, recognizing him as the source of all of the gifts and our ultimate life's end. And then through this supernatural revelation, we have the revelation of the proper way in which we are to worship God. Because reason can only lead us so far, as I'm sure you know, Antonio, concerning natural religion and how we are to relate to the transcendent reality, namely God, and worship him. Jesus comes and reveals to us the precise way that God wills for us to worship him, which is the ultimate expression of the virtue of religion, namely the holy sacrifice of the Mass, right? And so this is why religion is important within the realm of supernatural religion, understanding that religion to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is what I would say in order to reconcile religion and Jesus. Often out there you hear it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship, but that in relationship with Jesus entails the proper ways that Christ wills for us to relate to him, to the Father, and to the Holy Spirit, and also to each other as the mystical body of Christ. And so that's how we can reconcile the relationship with Jesus and our understanding of supernatural religion. What do you think of that, Antonio?
I think that helps a lot. I think that makes sense, because I guess that is like kind of a thing that people make, like, you know, I don't need a religion, just a relationship. So I think that helps a lot. Thank you.
Awesome.
God bless you, brother. Thank you, Antonio. Appreciate that call. I'm going to take a quick break. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get to your call when we come back with Carlo Broussard. Our topic, why should I care about religion? 888-318-7884.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
You know, you get paid in heaven for the ministry that you do on here. I love your show. My life has completely changed. Through God's power and through His revelation, I've changed my stuff in my life. All my first fruits go to God, and I remain in God. I pray all the time. Your show is in my prayer.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Carlo's books include Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and Meeting the Protestant Challenge. And the next book will be out when? Do you have any time?
We're working for fall of this year,
you are.
I think. Yeah.
And are you saying what it's about yet, or is that still top secret?
I don't know. So I'm just going to plead ignorance here, or okay. Mental reservation.
Mental reservation. All right.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to a Jesuit school?
I do not want to get chastised by the powers that be if I
I know
here.
Who you mean by the powers that be, too.
Did I ever go to a Jesuit school? No. I did not.
Good for you for the use of the word mental reservation.
I was trained for 2 years in my career as an apologist by a Jesuit, namely Father Robert Spitzer.
He's a pretty good Jesuit.
Yes, he is.
That's a long Jesuit tradition, too, of being so well-versed in science and faith.
Yeah.
They've always been, they're not all scientist priests, but there's a lot of scientist priests among the
and
Jesuits.
And I'm still blessed to be able to work with him on an occasional basis, on personal time, you know, and so... it's always a blessing to be able to work with him and to learn from him. He's a great mind to learn from and truly a master to whose feet it is well worth to sit at.
Yeah, indeed. Antonio had just such an interesting juxtaposition between the Pope's teaching about love everybody and all that, and also what Antonio was presenting as the proper practice of religion. I thought you gave it a good frame that these are not exclusive things.
That's right. But, yeah, this was a thought that I wanted to communicate before we went to the break, and that is, as you beautifully put it, Cy, love is not mutually exclusive from religion as properly understood, right? Because number one, it's love for God that's going to drive us to practice the virtue of religion so that we can properly relate ourselves to God as He wills, because we love Him, right?
Yeah, right.
That's His will for us, right? But also, too, love of neighbor is what's going to motivate us and drive us to practice religion in its true sense and to actually share, because the love of God is what's going to spill over and move us to love of neighbor.
Yeah.
Right? And love of neighbor because we love of God. So it's a fuller love. It's a deeper love when we love our neighbor out of love of God. And then also, too, to evangelize, right? It's not that, love of neighbor excludes the practice of your Catholic faith, right? No, it's love of neighbor that's going to drive me to practice my Catholic faith and to share that faith with others.
Yeah.
Because I recognize it as a great good that has come from the source of all good, namely God, through His Son Jesus. And if I love you, Cy, then I will what's good for you. And I'm going to work to helping you achieve that good.
Right.
And I recognize the Catholic faith as a great good, in fact, the greatest good that we can have in our life, because it's the full manifestation of who Jesus is, which is the ultimate good, because it's God, He's God made flesh. And so I'm going to share that good with you out of love. So love of neighbor and love of everyone is not to be placed in opposition to embracing the religion that Jesus has revealed to us, namely the Catholic religion. And nor is it going to exclude us from practicing it.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Antonio. Let's go to Kate in Kansas City, Missouri next. Kate, your question for Carlo.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So I came from a big family, the youngest of 10, a farm family, very strong Catholic. And my husband is one of 10 also, big family from Santa Fe, New Mexico, very strong Catholic. We have raised our kids Catholic. But the personalities, and I know humans are fallible. We're not perfect. But the personalities through our Catholic experience has made it so that we've left.
Mm.
I have a son now that believes in no religion. Mm. I have the youngest son that is following his footsteps.
Right.
And I'm confused that when you're talking, you're always saying religion mm-hmm. instead of faith. And that, I think, has been our biggest stumbling block is the religious people mm-hmm. that have come into our lives and they've really done damage.
Right.
And I want my kids to know God.
Right.
And actually, when you said that about if you know, what do you have to lose if you do believe in God, but if you don't, there's a lot.
Right.
So I'm just struggling
mm-hmm.
with why it is the whole religion part I feel encompasses like a real hierarchy.
Okay.
And that hierarchy, you know, in the Vatican and
right.
and the archbishops and everything, I don't feel like it's really always, I just, it actually gives me the creeps sometimes.
Yeah, they're sinful human beings, right?
Yeah.
And they often fail and fall short of the Christian standard of how we ought to behave, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
I am envious of people that can still embrace it. But for my family,
yeah,
I don't think that we can because I understand, you know, that especially with the priests, there's only a pool to draw from. Not all of them are charismatic. Not all of them are can get the point across. Not all of them are
amen to that.
good people. I hate to say that, but
right.
it's true. And
yeah.
We have went to another religion for a brief time, and it just seemed like there was less ego involved
okay.
in the leaders.
All right.
And it was less homage to the whole structure
okay.
of the people as leaders, as opposed to homage to Jesus as our Savior. And they talked more about faith and not so much the word religion, because actually the word religion now, I just don't feel like it's working for us.
Okay.
So,
yeah. So I feel your pain, Kate. And first of all, let me just apologize to you on behalf of every Catholic, both cleric and laity, who has fallen short of the standard of Jesus Christ and what Jesus calls us to live and to be a saint. So I apologize to you for my own sins. I apologize to you on behalf of everyone that has sinned among the laity and even among those in the clerical state. A couple of thoughts come to mind, Kate. Remember this. Peter himself, right, fell short of how he should have lived as a Christian. In Christian, in Galatians chapter 2, we read about this instance or this event when Paul rebuked Peter to his face and challenged him and fraternally corrected him, right? Because Peter withdrew from eating food and having table fellowship with the Gentile Christians because he knew these Jewish Christians were coming over, and out of fear of offending them, he withdrew from his fellow Gentile, from Gentile Christian brethren. And Paul rebuked him for that, saying basically, Peter, you're not living up to what is taught and revealed to us by Jesus Christ, that they are just as much our brothers as our Jewish brothers, right? Because they're all welcome into the fold by faith, right? And through the grace of Jesus Christ, or by grace through faith. And so remember there that even there, Kate, the first leader of the Christian church, our first pope, right, St. Peter, failed and fell short of the Christian standard of living. But he repented. He even denied our Lord, right? He denied our Lord three times, but he repented. And even Judas, one of the original 12, denied our Lord, but he did not repent. The reason why I go through that, Kate, is to emphasize the fact that we're always going to have a Judas in the church. There are always going to be sinners in the church, even among those who are in the hierarchy. And so the reason why I bring that up, Kate, is it's important to keep in mind St. Paul's words in Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. There is a human dimension to the church, and that is fallible and prone to sin human beings. And if we put our trust in them as human beings, they're going to sell us short, and we're going to be in the darkness of losing faith. But if we keep our eyes set on the things above, Kate, that is Jesus Christ, and the supernatural gifts and the goods that Jesus has given to us in the offices of the hierarchy, namely the bishop, the presbyter or the priest, and the deacon, and the gifts of the sacraments, right? The gift of the protection of the Holy Spirit of the Pope and the bishops in union with the Pope when they officially teach us something as definitively true. That's a supernatural gift that Jesus has given us, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so if we keep our eyes fixed on these heavenly things, Kate, well, then we come to realize that our faith is not rooted in those men who occupy those institutional ministries within the Church of Jesus Christ, but our faith is rooted in Jesus Christ, who gives us these great gifts. Why? To help us properly order our lives to our ultimate life's goal, namely union with God. Union with God in this life in an imperfect way, working towards union with God in a perfect way in heaven. And that's where religion comes in, Kate. And it's important to understand that, remember, this is why I started this broadcast with understanding religion in a proper way. Religion is that virtue by which we properly relate ourselves to God. And Jesus has given us supernatural gifts to help us in that relationship with God. So, Kate, rather than faith being mutually exclusive or opposed to religion, religion actually involves faith, you see, when religion is properly understood, because it's our faith in Jesus that enables us, Kate, to embrace and accept those great gifts and supernatural goods that he's given to us in the Catholic Church, so that we can be happy with him in this life and ultimately and perfectly in the next. And one last thought concerning, you mentioned homage to the structure versus homage to Jesus. A little bit of a clarification here. If you mean homage in the sense of worship, we do not worship bishops and priests. They're finite beings, just like you and me, Kate. They're creatures created by God, so we don't worship them. Do we honor their office and the roles that they have? Yes, we do, and that's founded upon Scripture. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders or the presbyters who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. So we do give honor to them by virtue of the office that they hold, the bishops, namely as successors to the apostles, and presbyters as those men that the bishops ordained to assist them. So we give them honor, but it's an honor that's within the created order. It's not the type of honor we give to Jesus as God made flesh, whom we worship, right? So it's important that we draw a distinction, but the only reason why we honor the structure, Kate, namely the bishops and the priests and the deacons and the Pope, right, who is the Bishop of Rome, we honor that structure because that structure is divinely constituted. It's given to us by Jesus. So inasmuch as we honor the hierarchical nature of the church, we're giving worship to Jesus, the honor due to him as the source of all good things, which is, in essence, the virtue of religion. So what? Well,
you can't go back to her.
I can't go back to her.
Kate, we're going to have to leave it there. God bless you, sister. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, that was a good call. You can hear she was hurting there, but hopefully some of the things that I said can help her out. We'll see.
Carlo, you're always helpful. Thanks for being here.
Thank you,
Si. I know you're going to be with us again Friday, right?
That's right. For 2 hours.
We're doing the game show. I'm not allowed to say who the top secret guest is for the game show. But Carlo will be here Friday, and we're doing a game show. If you can do math, you could probably figure that one out. Thanks very much, Carlo.
You're welcome, Si. Thanks for having me, buddy.
You can find Carlo's books at shop.catholic.com. Among them, Prepare the Way and Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.